If you have a copy of the Word of God there in the car at its home, let me invite you to take it and turn to 2 Corinthians and the chapter 4 this evening. The book of 2 Corinthians and the chapter number 4. And we'll begin our reading at the opening verse of the chapter. 2 Corinthians, the chapter number 4. And we'll begin our reading at verse number 1. Let's hear God's word. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on to them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Christ, for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Amen. And we'll end our reading there at the 7th verse of 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And with the word before us open, let's briefly unite in a word of prayer together. Our loving Father, we do bow before Thee. Thou art the great One, the mighty One, the eternal God, He who dwells in light unapproachable. And yet by faith and with strong confidence we come before Thee, in Christ, accepted in the Beloved, claiming, O God, only His righteousness and His blood as our only plea and ground of standing. We pray, Lord, that tonight that we might know great help in the preaching of Thy word, come and fill this preacher with power, with the Holy Ghost, and with wisdom. Grant, dear God, hearts to be touched, lives to be transformed, destinies to be changed, all through and by the power of the gospel. So answer prayer. Come now among us in a very special sense, we pray. May the word reach the heart that most requires it. We offer these petitions in and through our Savior's worthy and all-prevailing name. Amen and amen. You might find it hard to believe with the weather that we experienced in the last week, but over the summer months we were able as a family to go to the north coast and spend a couple of days on the beach there at the White Rocks. On those occasions, and on one of those trips in particular, an incident took place at two different times the same day. Those two separate yet almost identical incidents involved two boys no older than 5 years of age. Looking out across the beach and into the sea, whenever a young red-haired boy came walking past, he was sobbing and crying and calling out for his family. What had happened was that he had become disorientated by the so many windbreakers and beachgoers that were on the beach that day. He got lost, and he was unable to locate his older brother and grandparents who were with him on that day. As I watched on for a few moments, I realized his predicament, and therefore I approached him with another discerning woman, and I asked the young boy, was he lost? To which he replied that he was. The lady and I took him back down the beach from where he came. We saw the lifeguards, and it was our intention to approach them so that they could broadcast over the loudspeaker that a young boy had been found. But before that ever happened, his older brother came running up the beach and escorted him back to those who knew him. The second incident occurred just a few hours later. It again evolved, a young boy this time, not red-haired, but blonde-haired, who again was lost. However, this time, the boy was unaware that he was lost. Being a child of a family that I knew, I watched him as he made his way happily towards the sand dunes that so many loved to run down there at the White Rocks. However, whilst he happily trotted off without informing anybody in his family, his parents and grandparents were frankly looking for him. Thankfully, I was able to inform them that I had seen him walking towards the sand dunes, and soon they were able to be reunited with him. There were many similarities between the two incidences that happened just a few hours between each another. Both boys were lost. Both were under the age of five. Both had family relations who were concerned about their well-being and their welfare. However, there was one stark difference between the two incidences and between the two cases. One of the boys was lost and knew that he was lost. The other was lost, but he didn't even know that he was lost. And yet both were lost, whether they knew it or not. The plight of those two boys pictures for us the state that many within this district, this country, and this world find themselves in. There are those who are lost, spiritually speaking, and they know it well. These are individuals who are concerned about their lost state. Individuals who are concerned about their soul. These would be people who would find themselves interested in the gospel. People who are afraid of dying in their sin without Christ and without hope. Afraid of eventually going to hell. Such are like the boy who was lost and knew it. And then there are others who are lost and they don't know it. These are people who have no thought about their soul state. They are individuals who have no concern about eternity, and no fear of death, careless about the judgment day and the eternal fate of the Christ rejecter and the God denier, hell itself. And yet, though different in many ways, both are united by the common feature that they're lost. Whether they are concerned about it or not, both are found in a lost condition. I believe that there may be those here tonight, those who are watching in or listening at a later date, and you know that you're lost. And then there may be others and you're not even aware of your lost condition. This is simply news to you tonight, that you're spiritually lost. It is to both cases and classes of people that I want to address this gospel message that I've entitled, "To Them That Are Lost." To them that are lost. To them that are lost, I would say, firstly and briefly, the Bible speaks about you. The Bible speaks about those who are lost. In both a direct and indirect way, the Word of God speaks of sinners, those who have no saving interest in Jesus Christ, those who are unconverted, those who remain in their sin. The Bible speaks in both a direct and indirect way of those individuals as being lost. What a word it is. The word lost. A.W. Pink wrote, "Many are the terms used by the Holy Spirit to describe the solemn and direful state to which the fall has reduced every descendant of Adam. And among them, probably none is more pointed and awesome than that term, lost. How dismal," he said, "is its sound. How much is summed up in that single word, to be lost." Consider with me the lost condition of the unconverted as it is spoken of in the Word of God directly. There are a number of verses that I want to draw your attention to that affirms that the Word of God, the Scriptures, the Word of the living God uses and speaks of people who are spiritually lost. When the Lord Jesus Christ came to commission His disciples there in Matthew chapter 10, He said this to them in Matthew 10 verses 5 to 7. He said, "Go not into the way of the Gentiles and into any city of the Samaritans, enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of Israel, of the house of Israel. And as ye go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand." The Savior refers to those people whom His disciples were to preach the gospel to as being the lost sheep. Lost sheep of the house of Israel. The Lord Jesus Christ would use that term lost again in Luke chapter 19 in the verse 10. On the occasion of Zacchaeus' conversion and that the stir that was caused among Jericho's citizens, the Savior reminded them that the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. That which was lost. It was the mission of the Messiah to seek and to save lost individuals. The Apostle Paul, here in the passage that we read this evening, that is why I read it tonight, Paul uses this very same term, this term lost, when he speaks about those to whom the gospel is hidden to. Did you notice it there in verse 3 as we read? "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on to them." They're lost. These three direct references indicate to us that there are those in this world who are lost. In fact, this is every person's spiritual condition whenever they enter the world. We enter this world as those who are lost. Lost in sin. Lost to God. I said that this condition, this lost estate, is both and indirectly. And so I point you to the indirect references that we would have that really highlights and pictures for us the lost condition into which we are found when we are born into this world. I think of that picture there in Genesis chapter 3. What a familiar portion of God's word it is. Having sinned against God, Adam and Eve now hide themselves from Him. That will require God to search them out. God to find them. And that searching and that finding out of Adam and Eve clearly and simply illustrates the lost condition into which our first parents had fallen into because of their transgression and their sin. God was setting forth something very clearly at the beginning of divine scripture and of the divine record, that men and women, boys and girls, are lost and they need to be found. Lost and they need to be searched for. They need to be recovered. They need to be rescued. And in that very picture of Adam running from God and God then going on a search to find Adam, we are brought to the very truth and the very fact that we as sinners are lost and we need to be found. I think of that great chapter there in the New Testament, Luke chapter 15. Because surely that chapter is a chapter that speaks of our lost estate. Three times within the chapter, the Savior speaks of lost things. He speaks firstly of a lost sheep. In the verses 4 through to 7, that one of the 100 that goes missing, and the shepherd goes out and seeks after that which is lost and does not return until he finds the sheep that was lost. And then we read about a lost piece of silver there in the verses 8 and through to 10, the woman discovering that she has lost one of the 10 pieces of silver given to her most likely by her husband as an engagement or a wedding gift. She now takes the house apart and sweeps the house down and lights the candle, and she searches until she finds that which is lost. And then we think of the lost son, pictured for us between the verses 11 and 32. And how on his return, after having wasted his substance with riotous living, the father says to the elder son, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my son, the one who was lost." He was lost and is found. He was dead. And now, thank God, he has been brought home again. All three examples picture for us mankind in its lost estate, all three requiring someone to find that which is lost. This is our condition. This is our estate. This is how we're born. By nature, as descendants of Adam, we are found to be lost. That is my spiritual state. That is your spiritual state at birth. And so, sinner, do not live under some misapprehension, because the Bible declares both directly and indirectly that you are lost. But the question is, do you sense it? Do you feel it? Are you aware of your lost condition tonight? Does it concern you in any way that you're a lost sinner? Or is it the case that you're oblivious to this, that this is something new to you? You've never heard this before. Maybe you've stumbled in across this broadcast tonight, or maybe you've come from the district, or maybe you're listening beyond where I can see with regard to those who live within the vicinity of this church. And really, this is simply news to you tonight that you're lost. You've never understood it before. You've never been confronted with the fact before. And maybe you've not even a concern about your lost condition. Whatever your lost condition is tonight, all that you would be awakened to the very fact that you're lost in sin and you need a Savior to find you in the gospel. To them that are lost, the Bible speaks of you. To them that are lost, I would say a second thing. Understand what it is to be lost. Understand what it is and what it means to be lost. Now, you've probably heard, if you have been exposed to the gospel for any length of time within your life, you're probably are conscious, and you've probably heard it said on countless times from pulpits as the gospel has been preached, that sinners are lost. And you may be saying to yourself, "Well, I'm not lost. I know exactly where I am." What the gospel preacher is referring to when he speaks of the sinner being lost is not that they are lost in a geographical sense, but rather he is informing the sinner that they are lost in a spiritual sense. You're lost spiritually, not geographically. If you're here in Portland, Oregon, that's where you are with regard to geography. But I'm speaking about spiritually. This is what the Bible means. Whenever he speaks and wherever the word brings to our attention the thought that we're lost, it is bringing to our hearts the truth, the fact, the certainty that we are lost spiritually. And I just want to develop that for a little moment of time as we continue on here in the gospel, so that you might understand what it means to be lost. You need to understand it, sinner, that you're lost. I want you to understand that you're lost, firstly, in a federal sense. A federal sense. When Adam sinned against God in the Garden of Eden, he did not sin in splendid isolation. There in God's paradise, Adam acted as the federal head of the human race. Now, what we simply mean by that was that Adam was mankind's representative. All in Adam. Every human being that would ever come and step onto the stage of human history was in Adam's loins, there in the Garden of Eden. And there, Adam acted as our representative. He acted as our federal head. And thus, whenever Adam sinned against God, all mankind sinned in Adam. All mankind sinned in Adam. The one trespass of Adam led to our condemnation, for Adam acted, as I've said, on our behalf. Therefore, by the imputation of that guilt, of Adam's offense, we find ourselves lost, because he found himself lost. Romans 5, verse 19 declares that by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. By one man's disobedience. And so whatever pedigree you boast of this evening, whatever ancestry you may be proud of, it makes no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We are all descendants from Adam. And like father, like son, like daughter. And thus we are sinners who are spiritually lost. One preacher put it like this. The core crisis of humanity is that we are born in Adam. And all the guilt and all the condemnation and all the death accomplished by his disobedience accrues or is made over to us. In Adam's fall, we all fail. We all fail. And thus, being lost to God there in Eden's paradise, so I, as a man, was lost to God. Just as Adam's fall led to him being lost, so every sinner finds themselves in a similar predicament. And so in a federal sense, we are lost. In the second place, I want you to understand that you are lost in a judicial sense. You're lost in a judicial sense. The one who is lost is found to be under the curse of God's broken law. They are described as being condemned already by Jesus Christ in John 3 and the verse 18. These are those who are under the wrath of God. The wrath of God abiding upon the sinner. Therefore, as the sinner stands in their sin, they are lost to mercy. They are lost to pardon. They are lost to forgiveness. Their sin requires exact justice to be meted out against them. Thus, judicially, the sinner has no leg to stand on, no plea to enter, no grounds of acquittal to present before holy God. God's inflexible law finds every man guilty, and thereby every man is lost judicially. Except a pardon be bestowed, except a righteousness be accrued, imputed, made over to the sinner who will repent of their sin, that individual will be lost judicially. God's justice will declare, depart from me, I never knew you. And so, sinner, forget about your good works. Abandon the thought that attending a Free Presbyterian church has some bargaining value with God. Trust no more in your deficient self-righteousness and take your place before the judgment bar of God as a guilty sinner who is lost and needs pardoning, needs forgiveness, needs another to pay the debt that they owe to the very justice of God. And so you're lost federally. You're lost judicially. In the third place, I want you to understand that you are lost spiritually. In a spiritual sense, you're lost. I've already alluded to that very fact. You're lost, not geographically, but spiritually you're lost. The sinner is lost in sin. They're lost to all sense of shame over their sin. How the sinner loves to flaunt their sin. There's no shame in sin anymore. Rather, people boast about their sin. They love to publicize it on social media. They are quite happy to have their sin known to their work colleagues on a Monday morning whenever tea break takes place. They love to tell of the sin that they committed over the weekend. No sense of shame, no sense of disgrace over sin anymore. The sinner, they claim an inherent right to practice their sin, and they love to pray it before God and before the church and before God's people. Such is the lost condition into which sinners have fallen, that they've forgotten to blush at sin. There's no shame over sin anymore, is there? Whatever that sin would be. And so they're lost to the shame of sin. Yes, and they're lost to the concept of the consequences of their sin. The sinner has no appreciation that their sin and their sinful lifestyles have placed them on a collision course with the Almighty. No, the sinner has no concept of that whatsoever. They just live. They enjoy the day. They indulge in their pleasures. They give themselves over to all manner of iniquity with no thought of a judgment day, of a day of accountability, of a moment whenever God will settle the accounts and bring the sinner to the judgment bar. No, no, they have no appreciation that their sin will eventually damn them eternally in God's hell. They have no grasp or understanding of the serious fallout that will arise when they are brought to account for their sin by the judge of all the earth. They're lost. And spiritually, you're lost. Lost in sin. Lost to God. Lost to His righteousness. Lost to hope. Any hope in this world or in the world that is yet to come. What a pitiful, what a precarious, what a pathetic condition to be found in this evening. To be lost. Yes, I'm lost in a federal sense, The sinner is lost, yes, in a judicial sense. The sinner is lost in a spiritual sense. But in the final place, I want you to understand, if you're unconverted here this evening, that you're lost in a personal sense. Yes, the human race, the almost 7 billion people that populate planet Earth, for the most part, is in a lost condition. But you must come to realize that you are lost. I am lost. That's what needs to happen. If you're ever to be found, if salvation is ever to be yours, if you're ever to know the pardoning grace of God within your life, you have to come to a stage in your life where you realize, I'm lost. I'm lost. One of the young boys that day had come to realize that very truth in a physical way. He had come to understand that he was personally lost. And folks, that concerned him so much that it caused him to shed tears and to cry out for help. Such was the appreciation, the understanding, the grasp that that young 5-year-old boy had come to appreciate within his life. He came to understand, I'm lost. I'm lost. Do you sense tonight that you're lost personally? Not that the heathen are lost. Not that your friends are lost. Not that your mom or your dad or your brother or your sister or your aunt or your uncle or your work colleagues, but that you have you an understanding? Have you come to grasp? Have you come to appreciate that you are lost? That you're the lost one. Until such a truth dawns upon you, you will never seek help and you will never seek the Savior. You see, no sinner will ever value Christ or His precious blood until they have been made to see and to feel themselves to be a lost and an undone sinner. And that's why we need the Holy Ghost to show you that you're lost. To them that are lost, the Bible speaks about you. To them that are lost, understand what it is to be lost. You're lost in all these senses. Thirdly and finally, to them that are lost, appreciate what God provides for you in the gospel. To those who are lost listening in tonight, appreciate what God provides for you in the gospel. Oh, thank God He does not leave us in our lost estate. But rather, I am glad to say and to announce and to declare to you this evening that there is a full and there is a free provision made for the lost in the gospel. What is provided for the sinner, for the lost one, in the gospel of Jesus Christ? Can I say, in the first place, a way of rescue has been provided. A way of rescue. Lost souls need rescuing. They need saving. And in the gospel, a way of rescue has been provided through the life and death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the Savior of sinners. Christ came from the glory on a mission to seek and to save that which is lost. He lived a life of perfection to provide for the sinner a perfect righteousness. And then He went to the cross of ignominy and shame and suffered at the hands of cruel men to be crowned with a crown of thorns, to have nails driven into His hands and His feet, to be stripped naked, to be beaten and to be whipped, and to be spat upon, and then to be hung upon a cross. And then in the hours of darkness, the Father pouring out His wrath for sin upon the Son and soul, upon the head and upon the soul of His only begotten Son. What a rescue. What a way of rescue. You know, if you were out at sea and you were lost or you were drowning, it would be a foolish person, and you would be a foolish individual who would disregard the life belt that was thrown to you, or to push away the hand of the lifeboat crew that were deployed to rescue you from drowning. You would be foolish to do such a thing. And yet, is this not what you do in the gospel? The way of rescue has been provided. The gospel life belt, as it were, is thrown out to you, or the gospel lifeboat is sent out on the wild seas of this world and comes to you tonight in the privacy of your own home, in your car tonight. And there's the lifeboat as it passes by, and there you are, you're drowning in the sea of your sin. And what do? But you simply allow the lifeboat to drift on past. You simply allow the life belt to be discarded and cast aside in the hope that another lifeboat will come, that another life belt will be thrown out, not realizing that you could be brought to death itself this very night. Oh, the foolishness of it all. Oh, the fallacy of it all. Oh, it would be better for you tonight to avail yourself of the way of rescue, to repent of your sin, to believe the gospel, so that instead of being lost, you would be saved. Isn't that a wonderful word? Saved. To be saved from sin. To be saved from judgment. To be saved from hell. A way of rescue has been provided. Secondly, a worthy redeemer has been provided. What is a redeemer? A redeemer is one who has been tasked with the duty of paying a ransom that will secure the captive's release. The one who pays a ransom that secures the captive's release. And who is this worthy redeemer in the gospel? Well, it is Christ himself. Christ is the Redeemer. He pays the price for sin upon the cruel cross. He it is who meets the full payment of the sinner's debt to the law of God that has been broken by that sinner. I tell you tonight, sinner, it is Jesus Christ that you need. He alone is the Redeemer. Titus 2 verse 14, speaking of him who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. Do you know the Redeemer? Do you know him savingly? Like Job, can you say, I know that my Redeemer liveth? In the third and final place, yes, a way of rescue has been provided, a worthy redeemer has been provided, a wealth of riches has been provided. When the sinner turns from sin and on to Christ, the following riches and many more become theirs. There's pardon for the guilty soul. There's peace for the troubled soul. There's wealth for the poor soul. There's rest for the weary soul. There's salvation for the lost soul. Oh, what untold riches! Oh, what inexhaustible wealth! Oh, what immeasurable bounty there is stored up for those who obey the gospel. May this night you be found as the recipient of such riches that are bundled up in God's so great salvation. So as I close tonight, let me inquire of you one-on-one. One-on-one. What is your spiritual state tonight? Are you lost? If tonight you're lost and you realize that you're lost, and that causes you deep distress in mind and in heart, then I want to inform you that the great and the good and the chief shepherd, Jesus Christ, is searching for you. He's seeking you out by his word, by his spirit. Oh, that tonight he would find you and save you. And then you'd be able to sing, as John Newton wrote, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. 'Twas blind, but now I see. Don't be like the young boy on the beach that day who was lost and didn't know it. Be instead like the boy who was lost. He knew that he was lost, and who gladly availed himself of the help of others so that he might be found by those who loved him dearly. Be like that boy. As the minister of the gospel, I'm here to help you to the one who loves you dearly, the Lord Jesus Christ. May you avail yourself then of the opportunity to seek the Lord. And may you leave this car park saved and washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, tonight may you be saved. And may you never be lost. Lost forever. In God's hell, to them that are lost. Let's bow our heads in prayer together. Let's pray. Our loving Father, how solemn the condition is of the unconverted one, lost, hopeless, without God, without hope. O gracious God, find lost sinners. Draw them on to Thee, we pray. Turn them from sin. And grant, dear God, sinners to be found. O answer our prayers. Work in hearts, we pray. Glorify Thy Son. We offer prayer and then through our Saviour's precious name. Amen and amen.